Good evening. Good to see everybody here this evening. Got a couple quick announcements as we get started here this evening. Ladies, don't forget, tomorrow night, right here at the Pryor campus, the WAGS Fellowship from 6:30 to 8:30. Pizza, chips, and drinks provided, so ladies, take note of that. Come out here tomorrow night, be a part of that ladies' meeting here at the church, 6:30. To 8:30. Also, don't forget the month of February for the shopping cart is shampoo, and that's deeply appreciated not only by us but also the Pryor Ministry Center as they get that donated out to those in need in the community. And then one other thing, just remember the prayer requests, and as Marty will give us a time to get together and pray for one another, but some of those, Marty McNeely did come through surgery good and back home, so that's a great praise report, as that was going to kind of be a borderline short surgery or a long surgery, and glad that went really well. But continue to pray for recovery for him. Bonnie Rogers and family, pray for them. Larry Sheeran and family, and also Pat Powers. So be in prayer for those. I'm sure there'll be some others that'll be mentioned, but that's on the list here tonight. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll kick off here tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for another opportunity to get to come together and worship you here this evening. Father, I pray that we would worship you with all of our hearts, just our hearts, our minds fixed upon you here this evening as we worship, and then as we transition into just a time Brother Marty brings the message. Father, just pray you speak to our hearts here tonight, Father, and change lives here tonight. We just give you the praise and glory in advance for what you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand? Let's worship together here tonight. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. A flood of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, a flood of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. Aren't you excited about Jesus here this evening? Amen. Praise him. Come into his presence. Give him praise here tonight. And come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. And come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. Won't you give the Lord a great big clap offering here this evening? Praise the Lord. So we continue to worship him. Won't you bring your loose change place in the barrel here in front as we sing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace, in the mansion bright and blessed.
us and you prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
You're looking forward to that day. Amen. Be reminded of what Jesus has done for us as we sing this next song. He paid it all for us.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Let this be your prayer here tonight. Change my heart, oh God. Make it to be more like Him each and every day.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Heart, O God, may I be like you.
Father, we love you, and I do pray that be our prayer here this evening, Father, that we would just desire to be more like you, and that you would change our hearts to be more and more like you. Father, speak to us here tonight. Be with Brother Marty as he brings the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, if you, as if I, have enjoyed our praise and worship tonight, would you voice it with a hearty amen?
Amen.
And it's been just 3 weeks ago this past Sunday, our pastor, Brother Rob, preached a message entitled Passive or Passionate, and I was delighted to hear that the heart of our church would respond to that by, in essence, simply saying we don't want anything to do with merely being passive, but we're all about being passionate, about selling out to Jesus, hook, line, and sinker, lock, stock, and barrel, about having as our goal souls, and our motto, all at it, always at it, until Jesus calls it home. And in essence, Brother Bob, our theme song is not "Hold the Fort, for the enemy is coming," but instead, "Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." And then God in His divine orchestration would have us, following that message, dive into an exciting study on the book of Philippians. And we've already learned, even though there's a lot about joy in the book, it's not the joy book. It is the Jesus book, and we are to be single-mindedly focused upon Christ and upon Christ alone. We learned in our first message that it was written from a Roman prison cell. It was written to the church of Philippi. It was written for the purpose of appreciation being expressed, and then some education being shared by the writer. Last but not least, we also learned that the writer was none short of the Apostle Paul. And I think we can unanimously agree that he is the role model that would set the standard for what our second message, and even tonight our third message, is all about, and that is how to be a difference maker. Would you agree with me that no one better exemplifies that of being a difference maker short of the Lord Jesus Christ than does the Apostle Paul? And you'll remember when he talks to us about being difference makers, the Apostle Paul is very personal. Secondly, he is very intentional. And thirdly, he is very instructional. He spells it out line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, if you have your outline from last week, you'll remember, first of all, Paul said if we're going to be difference makers, we must be thoughtful in ministry. And that was Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Apostle Paul was faithful in ministering to his son. It's Paul and Timothy. He was faithful in ministering to the saints. And he said, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. And then he was faithful in ministering to the staff, both to the bishops and the deacons. But secondly, how many of you want to be a difference maker? Say, I do. We must also be careful with our message. And I tell you, his message was simply glorious and gloriously simple. You read about it in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. And Paul would start with the message of grace. And we learned that that comes from a Greek word, charis, which was a word used in Bible days for greeting. If you please, it was have a nice day. But when we saw it through the big picture, it was like God was saying to us, you can have more than just a great day. You can have a great eternity because of the contribution I've made. And that contribution is nothing short of my amazing grace. But then the second word in his message was peace. And that represents a Hebrew word called shalom. And we talked about Jerusalem being Jerusalem, the city of peace. And we all agreed that that was the farthest thing from the truth concerning Jerusalem, as even I'm speaking tonight. But we know one day it will be Jerusalem. It will be the city of peace when the Prince of Peace returns and sets up his throne there. But in the meantime, we all were made to rejoice that if we're saved on that blessed day in which we were born again, I tell you, God invaded our hearts by his grace, by way of charis, and the outcome, our hearts got to become his Jerusalem, and our hearts became his city of peace. And then in closing, we were reminded the only place you can find grace, charis, peace, shalom, is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I hurried through that for time's sake last week. And so let me just remind you, friend, we're counting on grace and peace. But man, we can count on it because of who we are counting on. And notice who it is. God. And you remember in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is taking care of his father-in-law's flock on the backside of the desert. This ought to be a good reminder, if you're faithful in the little things, God will make you ruler over much. And God speaks to him in that of his being faithful in the midst of small things and said, Moses, I want you to go and announce to my people that I will be delivering them out of captivity, delivering them out of slavery, delivering them from Pharaoh and from Egypt. Can't you imagine, students? Moses had to be trembling in his sandals when he got those orders from headquarters. And he asked what I believe to be a legitimate question. Whom shall I tell them sent me? And God said to him, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. I am the I am. You just tell them the great I am sent you. Now that is God sent you. And isn't it good to know that He is the great I am? He in essence is saying, I am whatever you need me to be in your life. But not just God. It's from the Father. And how many of you are glad to know that we get to call our Creator, Almighty God, our Abba, our Daddy, our Heavenly Father tonight? You know, I was in a workout center on Monday night, and I happened on a Christian businessman whom I hadn't seen in a while, and I asked him how things were going on in his life, and he said, quite well. And then I noticed his young son, Luke, who's 14 years young, was over working out on a stationary bicycle, and I asked him, how are you doing? And before Luke could give his answer, his daddy spoke up for him and said, state champion, wrestling state champion in the junior high division. And he said, man, that's really the only true state champ is the junior high division, because in high school, it's all by classes. But in junior high, all the classes come together, and if you please, winner of every weight division takes all. State champ, he said of his boy, and I'm quite proud of him. Well, Brother Eric, I listened on to that, and I thought to myself, now I know there's another side to that, and that is there have been days in that boy's life when he disappointed his daddy. If you please, there have been days in his life when at the close of the day, Daddy wouldn't offer any bragging rights concerning that boy. But as I listened on, God just reminded me, that's the way real dads are. That's the way real fathers are. They do not want to revel in the children's defeats. They want to revel in the children's victories. And aren't you glad to know that God doesn't want to revel in our defeats? Aren't you glad to know that He's a heavenly Father? And when we fail Him, when we fall, and we come up short of His glory, upon the asking, He's there to forgive us. Upon the asking, He's there to restate us. Upon the asking, He's there to put us back on the straight and narrow, and once again cause us to crawl up in His lap and become a trophy of His grace, which all over again enables us to become our Heavenly Father's bragging rights. But then, it's not only of God and the Father, it's the Lord. And could I tell you of Jesus, friend, He's not just Lord, He's Lord of lords. And He's not just Lord, but He's King. And He's not just King, He's King of kings. And let me just cause you to ever be mindful that He's never going to resign lordship. Nobody's ever going to have enough power to get Him impeached. I mean, He's forever Lord, whether you cast your vote for Him or not. But then it's more than just God and the Father and the Lord. It's Jesus. And the word Jesus, Brother Eric, translates Savior. And I hope you'll be mindful of the acrostic of Savior. S reminds me that He's sin forgiving. A reminds me that He's attitude changing. V reminds me that He's victory giving. I reminds me that He's inner peace giving. O reminds me that He's omniscient, omnipresent, and omniscient. R reminds me that He is a resurrected and soon to return Savior. And for those that spell it S-A-V-I-O-U-R, the U is there for you to consider. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do, shout amen. And then next on the list, it's Christ. Not just God, not just the Father, not just the Lord, not just Jesus, but it's Christ we're counting on for grace and peace. And that's the word for Messiah, which means promised one. And can I tell you, church, tonight, the promised one is the promise keeper. And when He promises, He'll always come through. That's why I count on being a recipient of grace and peace as a child of God, because it's not depending on anyone short of the great I am, our Abba Heavenly Father, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Would you just applaud all the above for a moment? I'll catch my breath and preach a while longer. But then that brings us into this evening's outline. And after that of being thoughtful in ministry, and after that of being careful in message, notice number one, which would be number three on the original outline. Paul said, if you're going to be a difference maker, you must be prayerful in your memories. Now, if you have your Bibles, please have them open to Philippians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 3 and look with me down through verse 5, please. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you all. Look at it. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Prayerful in his memories was the Apostle Paul concerning the church of Philippi. Now, how many of you would agree with me? The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. I'm reminded of a church that was looking for a pastor, and one of the credentials on the resume request was, we need the pastor to be tall. And some curious bystander said, how tall does he need to be? And the answer was, tall enough that he can reach heaven when he's on his knees. Did you know Paul was pretty small in stature? But bless be God, he was tall enough, Brother Eric. He could get a hold of the heart of God when he was on his knees. I mean, I believe Paul would say something like this to the church of Philippi. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, thou couldst never ask too much. I believe he would have the church of Philippi to understand that there's nothing out of the reach of God except for that which is out of the will of Almighty God. I mean, Paul was a man of prayer, and he was fond of the church of Philippi because it was a people that were made up of prayer. As a matter of fact, it was birthed, initiated, planted, resulting from a prayer meeting down by the riverside. Amen. And so Paul, a man of prayer, he says, first of all, it's all about the prayer of rejoicing. Now look again at verse 3. Always in every prayer of mine, every time I think of you is in jest is what is being said. Every time I think of you, I praise the Lord. Wow, what a statement of the church of Philippi. Now, listen to me, church. The reason Paul would break out in praise every time he considered the church of Philippi is because he stayed on the positive and didn't dwell on the negative. How many of you understood that just uncharted territory, him getting to Philippi was not a piece of cake? I mean, he wanted to go north, God said no. He wanted to go south, God said no. He tried to go west and got stayed down by the shorelines, and God told him to wait, and God gave him a vision of a man from Macedonia crying for help, and he and Silas boarded the ship, and they made their way to Philippi, and they stumbled into a prayer meeting. I mean, uncharted territory. It wasn't a piece of cake getting there, but that's not what his joy was in. His joy was in what he found when he got there. There was a prayer meeting going on. And how many of you understand, man, it wasn't a piece of cake planting a church in Philippi. I mean, there were all sorts of difficulties in the way, but he didn't get bogged down in those difficulties. And he thought about the church of Philippi, and he remembered, man, there was a charter member and all of her family be the same in that of Lydia. She opened her home up and said, that'll be our place of worship. And then, man, he didn't get bogged down in thinking about what happened to him when he was doing street ministry with Silas, and they had to deal with a demon-possessed lady. But instead, he rejoiced because he remembered the church of Philippi prayed over he and Silas to the extent they were full of the power of God. And because of that, they could resist the devil in Jesus' name, and the demon would leave. And a demon-possessed lady became a child of the living God. And man, he didn't sit around and mope and consider the past and how he was beaten and placed in stocks and bonds and behind bars in a Philippian jail cell. But instead, man, he remembered the result of that was a Philippian jailer got saved, and he and all of his household, and they were baptized. And all because of that, every time he thought of the church of Philippi, he just started praising God. Amen. But then secondly, I want you to notice not just a prayer of rejoicing, but a prayer of request. Look at verse 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you all. In every prayer that I pray, I thank my God upon you. Now, everybody look at me and listen to me. Let me tell you what that means. From the best translation, here's what that reads. Every time Paul, hang on to this, bowed his head, closed his eyes, and said a prayer, every time he prayed for the church of Philippi. Whew. Every time he said a prayer, whether it was over his breakfast, over his lunch, over his supper, for his morning devotion, for his noon devotion, for his evening devotion, every time he prayed, scholars tell us that he probably prayed for the church of Philippi. Miss Candy, can you imagine what might happen in the life of Exciting Southeast Campus 1, Campus 2, if every one of us, every time we prayed, every time, mentioned the name of our church to the throne of Almighty God? And did you see the way he prayed for them? It was with joy. I mean, it wasn't a burden. Brother Bob, it was a blessing. It wasn't, I have to pray for you. I get to pray for you. And verse 5 tells the joy of it. For the fellowship that we've had in the gospel from the first day until now. Now look at that word fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. And it means to have in common. Now I don't know what you thought about it, but kind of like David took down Goliath, the Philadelphia Eagles took down the New England Patriots. That was kind of like a David taking down a Goliath. And in the end, I was thrilled to hear the testimony of faith in Jesus Christ that came from their head coach, and thrilled to hear the testimony of that which came from their quarterback, and how he too gave honor and glory to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, after the fact, I did a little research, and I understand that that coach often leads them in prayer meetings and Bible studies. And how several months ago, there was a group of them that that ESPN wrote a story about. And here's what that story said. They came to common grounds due to spiritual devotion. Now just think with me. ESPN, Sports Center, Sports Illustrator, they going to do their best to stay away from sounding too churchy. But what they were really saying, these guys came together because they faithed the Lord Jesus Christ. They found common denominator in Jesus. Now listen, Paul is saying to the church of Philippi, hey man, we can have koinonia, we can have fellowship because we've got Jesus Christ together in common. Now listen to this, I hope you're taking note. They saw that Jesus Christ was the price for Christian living. They saw that Jesus Christ was the price for Christian living. Now, we're not too far off from Christmas. I mean, we just got through with it. And I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes, you know, you put something in a box, a gift, and maybe you've already wrapped it and stuck the bow on it, and all of a sudden your wife comes to you or you go to your wife and you ask each other, did we take the price tag off that? And sometimes, I mean, we get so desperate, we literally unwrap it, open the box, and check all over again. Did we leave the price tag on? Well, that may be all right in a gift that we give, to somebody on Christmas or a gift we give on somebody's birthday. But listen to me, I'm pretty sure it'd do us a whole lot of good just to leave the price tag on our salvation. Just leave it on there. I think it'd do Marty good every day of his life to be reminded of the price that was paid for me to be called a Christian. And that's the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. You see, they recognized Jesus was the price for Christian living. But listen to me. They also recognized that Jesus was the pattern for Christian living. How many of you remember back several years ago, everybody was wearing these little bracelets around, and it was WWJD, what would Jesus do? And man, I didn't have any problem with people wearing those around every now and then. I'd wear one around, but the truth of the matter is, it's one thing to ask what would Jesus do, and then it's another thing to do what Jesus would do. You see, he's not only the price for our Christian living, but he's the pattern for our Christian living. But then finally, he's the power for our Christian living. Man, I got excited. I was reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and right in front of the Great Commission, which says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. Right in front of that, it's Jesus speaking to a disciple group that some are doubting. And he said, man, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Amen. He's the power for Christian living. How many of you ever used to watch Popeye the Sailor Man? You know what I'm talking about? And man, he and old Pluto were always in a battle over Olive Girl. And I'm promising you, Popeye didn't stand a chance against Pluto unless he could get a hold of that can, pop the top, and down the spinach. And after the fact, I promise you, he became a hulk of a man. Pluto didn't stand a chance. Could I tell you, friend, there is all-out war against the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of darkness. And we, as Popeye, doesn't stand a chance against Pluto without his spinach. We don't stand against the forces of darkness apart from the power, all power, given us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap offering for the price, for the pattern, and even for the very power of Christian living. But then next on the list, I want you to see if we're going to be difference makers. Paul said we got to be hopeful in our mindset. Hopeful in our mindset. Would you go with me, please, to verse 6 and following? And he simply says, being confident of this very thing. Here's what this very thing is. That he that has begun the good work, that's a magic word, work, in you will perform it, that literally translates, will carry it out until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, everybody look at me and listen to me. What was the work? It's the work of God. He that hath begun the good work in you. It's the work of God. Now think with me for just a moment. Really, what does that consist of, the work of God in our lives? First of all, it's about the work God does for us, and that is our justification. And the means by which we can stand justified before the thrice holy God of Israel is to have repented of our sins and believe the finished work of Christ and to put aside our personal filthy robes of unrighteousness and put on the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus. And then God no longer sees us in ourselves, but he sees us for who we become in Jesus. And in essence, God sees us just as if we had never sinned. That's justification. That's what God did for me 42 years ago when I repented and said yes to Jesus. Amen. But the second work is not just the work that God has done for us, but it's about the work that God's doing in us, and that's sanctification, and that is every day of our Christian life. God is all about conforming us more into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And then the third part of that work is the work that God is doing through us, and I call that manifestation, and that is God working through us in such a way that He is manifested, and the end result is all glory and power and praise is directed to Him. And then in the end, hey, it's about the work that God is going to do to us. He's going to do to us, and that's glorification. And John in 1 John 3:2 said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when Jesus appears, we're going to be just like Him. Amen. And so the work is the work of God. But then secondly, I want you to know how the work is accomplished. Would you go with me, please, to verse 7? And here's the words of Paul to the church of Philippi. It is meet for me to think this of you all. Now here's what that translates, and your translation may read this. It's right for me to think this of you. This is legit. This makes sense for me to feel the way I feel about you. Because I have you in my heart. Everybody look up here, Brother Marty, and listen to me. What a word for we ministers. In verse 3, Paul said, I got you on my mind. In verse 4, Paul said, I got you in my prayers. But in verse 7, Paul said, it's even closer than that. I got you in my heart. That's a pretty good place for us to carry our fellow brothers and sisters around in, is our heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and defense and confirmation of the gospel, look at verse 7, you are all partakers of my grace. Or if you please, you are all partakers with me of grace, is the way another translation reads. Now everybody look at me, listen to me. This is important. That's the way the work gets accomplished, by the amazing grace of God. Now, stay with me. Don't miss this, what I'm about to say to you. The word partakers. Now, fellowship was koinonia. Partakers here is that same word with a preposition in front of it that intensifies it. You know what it translates? We're all wrapped up together in. That's pretty good wrapping paper, isn't it? I can't think of any better wrapping paper than for exciting Southeast Baptist Church to be packaged and wrapped up together in God's amazing grace. That's how the work's getting accomplished in your life. That's how the work's getting accomplished in my life. We're wrapped up in God's amazing grace. And look at what's accomplished resulting from God's work taking place by His amazing grace. Look at verse 8. Paul said, God's my record. Somebody had taught Paul long ago that Jesus had taught, swear not at all, neither by heaven nor by earth nor by any other oath. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. He didn't swear. He just said, I got God as my record. How I long after you all, look at it, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Did you see what was accomplished? Because of this work that's going on in your life, Brother Eric, and because of this work that's going on in your life, Brother Denny, and because of this work that's going on in your life, Miss Candy, I can't wait till we get together. I can't wait, Paul is saying, I can't wait to see and hear what God is doing in your life, and I can't wait to share with you what God is doing in my life. And that's the reason why we ought to be excited about showing up on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, so we can hear and see what God's been doing in each one of our lives. Amen. Then quickly, I want to move to the final point. If we're going to be difference makers, look at your outline. We've got to be helpful in our mandate. And that's verse 9, 10, and 11. We've got to be helpful in our mandate. Now, church, look at me. Listen to me. It's all there on your outline. But what is our mandate? We're to be all about love. Amen. We're all to be about life, and we're all to be about labor. Amen. That's what our mandate is. And Paul is saying, man, I want to help you love right. I want to help you live right. And I want to help you labor right. Now let's start with love. Now go with me, please, to verse 9. And he says, this I pray, look at it, that your love might abound yet more and more, don't miss this, in knowledge and judgment. Another translation reads, in knowledge and discernment. All right, two things about our love. If you're listening, say, I am. Number one, it's supposed to be an abounding love. You know what that means? Never runs out. I tell you, there should never be a service in which somebody could come in our building off the streets and not feel overwhelmingly loved in the name of Jesus. Now, if we're going to have abounding love that never runs out, guess what? We better be a people that are walking in the fullness of the Spirit, because of the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the only way we can continue having abounding love, is to be a people that walk in the power of the Spirit. But then secondly, I want you to see it's got to be a discerning love. That your love may abound yet more and more, here's the discernment, in knowledge and in judgment or discernment. In other words, I got a buddy, and he and I were talking on the phone recently, and he was talking about what real love is. And he said, real love is not just about giving. He said, real love is about doing for a person what's best for them. For example, he said, I was in Abilene, Texas not too awfully long ago, and I came on a stop sign, and there was a guy on the side of the street, and he had a sign that read, we'll work for food. So I rolled down my window, and I said, you mean what you wrote? He said, absolutely. So he said, I stepped out of my vehicle. He said, tell you what I'm going to do. I just hired you for 3 hours to pick up trash on this corner. $10 an hour, sir. That man bowed his chest, said, I ain't going to pick up no trash. He said, then I ain't going to give you $30. That's discernment. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is just be a handout. We're not teaching them a thing. Real love loves in word, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Amen. We want the best for that person. And so he said, man, I want to help you with your love. Let's go quickly. Secondly, I want you to be right in your life. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. The Apostle Paul says that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you might be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. Now he said, when I talk about the importance of living right, it starts concerning the will of God, and that speaks regarding your walk. Approve the things that are excellent. Remember, Paul, on his way, wanted to go south. Wouldn't have been anything wrong for him going down there and telling the good news of Jesus Christ, but that wasn't the perfect will of God. Wanted to go north, up toward what later would become Turkey. God said, sounds good, but wrong. You could go do good things up there, but you can't do my perfect will out there. And finally, God said, you need to go west. And he did. And the outcome, we got the great church of Philippi. Amen. You see what I'm trying to tell you, folks? You can write with a pencil that's got a dull lead, but it'll be much more legible if it's a sharp pencil. And friend, if we're going to really be difference makers, we don't need to be dull. We need to be sharp. We don't just need to be in the good. We need to be in the perfect will of God for our lives. Amen. But then next on the list, look at it. It's in regard not only to our walk, but to our work or our witness, if you please. He said that you might be sincere and without offense. Woo. Look at that word sincere and look up here at Marty Let me tell you just a little bit of history about that. That comes from a Greek word called censiris. Back when Rome was empowered, she was invading cities. And the outcome, they would often take down a palace, or they would take down a temple, and resulting from that, there would often be broken statues and broken vases, and merchants would come in and pick up the remains and take them home. Listen to me. And they would actually take wax and repair the broken sculptures and prepare the broken broken vases, and then they would put them up for sale, and they would sell, and the purchaser would take them home, put them in the garden, get up the next morning, and everything was fine until the sun came up. And then the sun would cause the wax to melt, and the next thing to know, they knew their purchase was falling apart. Censiris means without wax. So that upstanding merchants literally had to go so far as to build that brand new statue or that brand new vase, put it up for sale, and stamp it, censiris, made without any wax. Friend, we need to be sincere. Nothing phony about us. That's what Paul is saying here. And without offense. That means we don't want to be a stumbling block. We want to be a stepping stone. We don't want to be a hindrance. We want to be a help to help bring people to Jesus. Amen? And did you see the finality of it? Here's what ought to motivate us to want to live right. Till the day of Jesus Christ, man, we ought to live with the expectation, with the anticipation that He could come this moment. We want to be sincere without wax. We want to be without offense. We don't want to be hindering anybody from coming to know Him as Savior and Lord. Amen? And then last but not least, notice he said, I want you to be right in your labor. Did you see that? Look at verse, I think it's about a verse 11. Look at verse 11. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Did you see that? Fruits of righteousness. Hang on to that. Which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of Almighty God our Father. Now, listen to me. At Exciting Southeast, don't miss this, we don't want to be laboring in religious activity because that could cause us to boast in what we have done. We want to be laboring in successful fruit bearing, which can cause us only to boast in what He has done. Are you understanding, church? It's not so much about the work that Marty Brock does for God. It's about the work that God could do and chooses to do through a Marty Brock. I mean, it's not about the work Exciting Southeast does for God. It's about the work that God does through Exciting Southeast. That's when we boast in God and God alone. Think with me about Psalms chapter 1, the blessed man. Remember? He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Remember? The blessed man, he delights in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. Remember what he's like? He's like a tree. A tree planted by a river. Leaves don't wither, it brings forth fruit in its season, and all that it does, it prospers. But it's like a tree. Hey, listen to this. You know what? I've studied some fruit trees, and I've yet to hear one of them make any noise why they were producing or bearing a fruit. Never once have I heard anything out of them. Nothing. Never heard nothing out of that tree. We're like a tree planted by a river. What does that fruit tree do? It just lets the life within it, in a natural way, do what the life in it can do. And that's produce and bear fruit to the glory and the praise of Almighty God.
I was in a revival meeting about a year ago up in Kansas, and a lady came up to me whom I recognized from years gone by rodeo, and she said, "You remember years ago, we were at a college rodeo at Colby, Kansas, and my best friend happened to be a lady by the name of Reba McIntyre, and we were in your truck." And she went on with the story. And when I left the church, I thought to myself, if I'd only known who was in my truck, the Reba McIntyre, I'd still have her autograph. Listen to me. Do we really know who's in our heart? It's the great I Am. It's Daddy Father. It's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It's Savior. It's Christ, the Promised One, who never breaks a promise. With His help, we sure can be difference makers. Would you pray with me? Our instrumentalists are going to come, and he began to play softly at the piano. And as they play, let me remind you, you can never be a difference maker unless, first of all, you've allowed the maker to make you different. Should you be here this evening and you check your whole card and find that there's really never been a time when you repented and gave your life to Jesus, could I encourage you, if the Spirit's calling, why not tonight? If the Spirit's calling, say yes to Jesus. Say I do to the gospel tonight from where you're seated. Just like I shared with the children earlier, I share with you tonight. It just is as easy as A, admit that you've sinned. Tell God right where you're seated. Just say, "Lord, I've sinned. I've come short of your glory." I mean, B, just tell God right where you're seated, "I believe with my heart you died on the cross, Jesus, and that you were buried and rose from the grave." And then see, just call on the Lord right where you're seated. Just say, "Jesus, come on into my life. Make my heart your throne. Forgive me and save me and change me and be my Lord forever." If that was your prayer tonight, I'm going to be standing here at the front, right in front of the loose change barrel. And you come take me by the hand. Say, "Brother Marty, I prayed with you tonight. Tonight I prayed it from my heart to Jesus. Tonight it took. Tonight I gave my life to Christ." And if you know the Lord tonight, you want to be a difference maker, you got to be thoughtful in ministry. You got to be careful with your message. Then we learn further tonight. You're going to really, really, really be a difference maker. You got to be prayerful in your memories. We're going to be difference makers. We got to be hopeful in our mindset. Trust He that hath begun the good work in us to perform us, carry it out until the day He calls us home. Then finally, we got to be helpful in our mandate. We got to be about loving right. We got to be about living right. We got to be about laboring right and then helping others to do the same. We need to be a people without wax, sincere. Nothing fake or phony or hypocritical about us. We just need to be real without offense until the day of Christ. We don't need to be laboring in that of religious activity that would cause us to boast in what we have done. We need to be laboring in that of effective spiritual fruit bearing, which would cause us to be able to glory in God and God alone. I'm going to ask you tonight, as believers, I'm going to ask you to come and just grab a knee for a moment in the altar and say, "Lord, I want to be a better difference maker." If God would give you grace to do that, if you would feel impressed by the Spirit to do that, I'm going to ask you to come and grab a knee, men and women and students alike, and just say, "Lord, I want to be a better difference maker." You come for that cause. And no further delay, I'm going to ask us to stand. That'll make it easy for you to get out. Just come and grab a knee. We finished a two-part message on what it takes to be a difference maker. It's time for us to line up. Say, yes, Lord, that's what we want to be all about. I'd ask you to come. If God would give you liberty, you come and kneel in these altars. If not, you turn your seat into an altar and talk to the Lord there. Father, have your perfect will and way now in every heart. For any and all that need to be saved, I pray they'll come and see me in the altar. For those that need to come for rededication, church membership, baptism, I pray they'll come see me in the altar. For those of us just need to come and commit to being better difference makers, help us to come and meet with you in the altar. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Eric, you lead us, people coming.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waking not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb.
come to you tonight. We just are thankful for the message we've heard. Father, we just ask that as each one of us enter our prayer closet, that we would hold up exciting Southeast Baptist, both campuses, to you, Father, that we hold up our brothers and sisters in Christ every time we offer a prayer up to you, Father, that we just might draw closer to you, and each one of us in this prayer circle tonight would also draw closer to you. Father, just be with us as we go out this evening. Keep us safe. Go with us as we travel home. Go with Marty as he makes the drive home, and just bring us back safely at the next appointed hour here in your house. Father, we just ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Hey, I
want to
just speak up and simply say
the
staff of Rangers, the guys on the road, every time I pray for them, I pray for the Lord. You make me pray for the Lord. So I love you. Love each other on your way out. Brother Jenny, are you out there somewhere? What was our count tonight? Didn't you? Okay. We got a great crowd, and you're because of it. And I appreciate it. God bless you. Love somewhere on your way out.
Thank you, Brother Bob.
You bet.